within the time frame if I go with a half hour. And I got my family on standby. They're going to play one more song on your way out, so you can watch it fade out of the radio as you drive off. So that's the plan at the end. But I've been preaching a series, whether you've been watching or not, and it's called When God Asks the Questions. And this has been something that's on my heart. I've been threatening to write a book about this. I've at least finally been preaching through the series. And the construct is this: when God asks a question, he already knows the answer. So the question is really for your benefit. Do you know the answer? So the very first installment was the very first question of God, flows out of the story of the fall of Adam and Eve. Remember, they had eaten the forbidden fruit. God comes down to walk with Adam in the cool of the day, and the first words out of God's mouth was the question, "Where are you?" Now, was God fooled by Adam standing behind a bush? No, God was not fooled. God is the best. He's the one who seeks. We're the one who hide. And the question is, do we know where we are? And that's kind of a good way to start this whole process. Are we willing to answer the questions that God is asking? And so the question we're looking at today is going to be in Exodus chapter 4. You see that? And so you either can turn in your Bibles, or I'm going to read it here in a minute, or you can look at it on your phones, or however that looks. But the question that's going to come forth out of this burning bush encounter is the question to Moses: what's in your hand? What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Everybody show me your hand. Everybody hands up. All right. See, I can see your hands. That means I know you can hear me. So this hand, today, this hand represents everything that you are. Okay? Not just like what you have, but that's part of it. What you have, who you are, what you've been through. How many of your, everything you've been through, your hand went through with you, right? Your life has some hands on it. No, your hand has some life on it. I said that backwards. Your hand has some life on it. And so this hand represents everything you've been through. This hand represents every personality trait, every ability that you have. It represents everything you have, your family, your job, your life, your possessions. This is it. And God is asking you, do you know what's in your hand? And so we're going to look at this as we go through this life of Moses. So let me just go to Exodus chapter 4. It gets hard to turn pages up here with everything blowing. Exodus chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5 of Exodus 4. And just to give you some backstory, this is in the middle of the conversation with Moses. So I mentioned the great I am, right? We sang that song. So that comes in Exodus chapter 3. I mean, this is an amazing moment. Moses, 80 years old, thinking he's just going to retire watching sheep in the backside of the desert. There's a burning bush. Moses says, let's go check it out. And God shows up and God says, I've called you to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. You're going to go and you're going to get them out and you're going to bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey. And that should have been, and Moses' first question is, when they say, who sent me, who do I tell them? And that's where we have that great revelation, right? That covenant name of God. The Yahweh, the Jehovah, he says, I am. Mic drop, nuff said, right? And yet the conversation continues for two chapters with Moses making excuses. And so here we have, God's already answered his questions. It was, I am, and I'm going to be with you. That should be enough. And yet Moses, look at his insecurities, look at his questioning. And so he starts in chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. And if you were to keep reading, you would find that there's actually three signs that it was given him. It's the rod, the staff turning into a snake. He puts his hand in his cloak and it becomes leprous, and he puts it back in and it's healed. And God says, if they don't believe that, take some water from the Nile, pour it out, and it'll turn into blood. And that's how they will know that I have sent you. But we're going to look at this idea of what's in your hand. What's in your hand? And I've got three words that start with the same letter because that's kind of what I do. But I want you to look at that main idea. I think you've got the same one on your paper. And it's this: to limit yourself is to limit God, because he has shaped and equipped you to serve his purposes. You have been shaped and equipped to serve the purposes of God. Your hand is exactly what God wants your hand to be. This representing who you are, what you've been through, what you have. And God has shaped you and equipped you to serve his purposes. So what's in your hand? And so we're going to go through these three words. And the first word is this, your past. Your past. If you look at that sentence right there, your yesterday has prepared you for purpose today. Think about that. Your yesterday has prepared you for purpose today. Now, there's a lot of people, I get it. We've been through some stuff, right? We got junk in our trunk. We've been through difficulties. We've been hurt. We've been broken. We've had disappointment. We've had frustration. Maybe you got good stuff and now you're in a broken place. But whatever it might be, everything you've been through, God can use it for his purpose. Now, don't get into this, well, God did it just for that. But I'm telling you, that's where God is. He has a way of working everything out to the good. Who love him. It doesn't say everything's good. I'm not telling you your past was necessary. How many know some of our past stuff that we went through is our own fault, right? And yet God wants to use it. God wants to use it in your life. It was so true in Moses' life. Think about everything Moses had been through. God had shaped him and prepared him for the ministry that he was about to be called to. If you were Moses, you could sit in the counselor's office and you could do the woe is me thing. Like, yeah, when I was born, they were killing all the babies, and my mom had to put me in a little basket and send me down the river, and then I got adopted. Then it looked like things were going to be okay. I got adopted into the Pharaoh's family, but then when I was around 40, I killed a man because it just wasn't right. They were mistreating the people of God, and we know Moses, you know, he's like, I got an identity problem. I don't know whether I'm Hebrew or whether I'm Egyptian. Who, you know, he could cry all of those things, but those things were perfectly shaping him for the ministry that God was calling him to. And he needed somebody who understood God and knew who he was and the people of God and had a passion for them, but also could communicate in the Egyptian culture. And God did that. God did that. He shaped and orchestrated his life so that he could be. His yesterday prepared him for the ministry that he was being called to today. You can go on with the story. And so there he is at 40 years old. You want to talk about loss. You want to talk about trauma. He was forced to flee Egypt. Everything he had known for 40 years, instantly gone. And maybe you've had moments like that in your life. Maybe you lost a family, went through a death, went through a divorce, had to make a big move, lost a job, whatever that might look like. And we sit there and we're like, I don't understand this. This seems like the end of life as I know it. And now he's what? Yes, he starts over. Yes, he finds a wife and he ends up working for Jethro, his father-in-law, as a shepherd, thinking he's going to retire there on the backside of the desert, just leading sheep around. But how many know, once again, God was equipping him and shaping him through his past for what God was calling him to. That very desert that he'd been walking for 40 years would be the desert that he would lead the people of God around. Instead of leading sheep, he was now going to be leading the very people of God and be a pivotal part of the redemptive plan of God. And so we don't always see it and we don't always understand it, but God will use your yesterday for his ministry and his purpose today. What about in your life? What is it that you've been gone through that God wants to use today? Let me get to number two. Number two. Trish, you want me to fix the camera? So I'm going to keep coming up here and cranking this up. We'll have to... Trish is watching on her computer. That's why I keep talking to Trish through the thing right there. So there you go. You get my whole head now. Number two, let's talk about your personality. You don't have to answer this question, but do you like who you are? and really, as much as I've talked to a lot of young people, the truth is I struggle with insecurity. I struggle with self-worth and self-identity. And I tend to think we all do. whether we want to admit it. Notice this whole thing starts with a very insecure question. Moses saying, what if they don't listen to me? What if they don't believe me? What if I'm not enough? What if I don't have what it takes? I can't be the answer to your plan, God. I don't have what it takes. But I'm telling you this, when we talk about your personality, your abilities, your strengths, your weaknesses, your quirks and who you are, God, let me read the quote so I get it right. Who you are is exactly who God will use. Who you are is exactly who God will use. In fact, who you are is exactly who someone needs. And the people of God needed Moses. And you can look at the quirks of Moses. You can look, he was a humble man, and yet he had a strong sense of justice. And we see all of his personality traits and all of these things that were there. God used Moses and who he was. He used his sensitivity to God, his sensitivity to and compassion for people. He used his leadership skills. And God had shaped Moses for this moment and for this time. And you have been shaped in the same way. See, because here's the thing. A lot of us are spending too much energy trying to be somebody else. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of the comparison and the competitiveness and that haunting thought that I'm not enough. But we have to realize that God made us who we are. And we have to be okay with that. Who you are is who God is going to use. So I'll do my private or my public confession right here. During this quarantine, I have struggled with jealousy. So I get online. And you know who I'm most jealous of? I'm jealous of Stephen Furtick from Elevation Church. Because everybody shares his videos. Everybody talks about how great his messages are. And he is. He's a good preacher. And I've listened to a couple of them. But, you know, you look at, you know, millions of views or hundreds of thousands of views versus a couple hundred that we're getting as a church. And really, as much as I was struggling with that, the one big moment came. I talked to somebody from the church and I said, hey, did you catch last week's service? I thought that really went good online. And they said, you know, to be honest, and this was like 8 weeks into the quarantine, said, to be honest, I haven't been watching any of our services. I've just been watching Stephen Furtick on Elevation Church. And I was just like, my heart dropped and my feelings were hurt. And you know what? We got to get past that. It's not going to work for me to try to be Stephen Furtick. Because God made me who I am. And I need to be who I am in my ministry. And you need to be who you are in your ministry, whatever that looks like, in your family, in your job system, in your community. God has made you who you are on purpose for purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. You are God's masterpiece. He made you who you are on purpose for purpose. We know the psalmist declares that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But here we are, we say, God, you did it wrong. I got all of these problems. Oh, I should be that those preachers that I'll put it on the organ. Oh yeah! No, I'm not. I won't do that. It's tempting now that it's here, though. Okay, bad idea. No, not gonna do it. But you know what? You know what you're doing when you're limiting yourself, when you're saying I'm not enough, when you say I gotta be somebody else, where I gotta be different, you're telling God that he did you wrong. His word says you're his masterpiece. His word says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are disagreeing with God. And last time I checked, anytime you disagree with God, you're wrong. Right? That makes sense? You're wrong. Correct? They're egging me on to hit the keyboard over there. You know, the Apostle Paul, he had that thorn in the flesh. And we don't know exactly what that's all about. But he had that thorn in the flesh, and he talked to God three times about it. And Jesus, red letters, talks to Paul, and he says, my grace is sufficient for you. So we get all weighed down in our weaknesses. But the word to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for you. And then hear it. What does Jesus say to him? He says, for in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. That's who God is. God is going to work through who you are. So who you are is exactly who God's going to use. So number one, we talk about what's in your hand. It's your past. It's your yesterday that has prepared you for ministry and purpose today. What's in your hand is your personality. Who you are is exactly who God's going to use. And number three, it's your possessions. It's what you have. For Moses, what was in his hand? He had a staff. This is Isaac's colored stick that he made camping, I think, when he went with Dale and Grandma. He made this walking stick right here. But how many know this is just an ordinary stick, right? And God says, what's in your hand? And Moses is like, oh, my staff. I've been carrying this thing for 40 plus years. It's just a stick. It's what I use. I walk around the deserts and climb the mountains and the rocks and all of those kind of things. And it's just a stick. And God tells him to throw it on the ground. And I like this quote right here. For whatever it's worth, I can like my own quote, can't I? When we throw it down in surrender, we pick it back up in service. And the question is, what do you have? And it's not just about your possessions. It's about your time. It's about your job. It's about where God has positioned you geographically. It's where God has placed you in history. It's where God has placed you in a community. It's where God has placed you. That's what you have. That's what you've been given. And when we throw it down in surrender, we pick it up in service. And how many know Moses' staff becomes a pretty amazing thing? This would be the staff that he would raise up over the Red Sea and he would watch it part. It would be the staff where he struck a rock and water came and flowed from the rock. It would be the staff that became the very symbol of God's anointing and his leadership that Moses had been called to. Just an ordinary stick. But because he threw it down in surrender, he picked it up in service and God anointed it. So what do you have? What have you been given? What can you surrender? If I were to preach another mini message in here, I would throw in the story of the feeding of the 5,000. You remember that? Just the little boy and his lunch. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And here's the punchline of the story. I don't know if I like that word, but here's the bottom line. That little is much in the hands of Jesus. When the little boy put the lunch in the hands of Jesus, he blessed it and he broke it and it did miraculous things. And we see that with Moses' staff, when he threw it down in surrender and picked it back up at the command of the Lord, that God's anointing made the difference, God's empowerment. And God wants to anoint what you have, anoint what you have in your hand so that you might use it for the purposes of God. Everything you've been given stewardship of, what does it look like when you surrender it and then use it in the purposes of God? And so as I get to the conclusion here, as much as I had 3 P words, you got all of them, right? Our past, what's in your hand, your yesterday has prepared you for ministry today. Your personality, who you are, is exactly who God's going to use. And your possessions, when we throw it down and surrender, we can pick it back up in service. The one word that encounters all three of those ideas is another one final P word, and it's the word, the power of God. It's when our past is surrendered to the power of God that he can use it to change the lives of others. It's when your personality is surrendered to the power of God that God can anoint it and use who you are. And it's when you take everything that you have, everything you've been given stewardship of, and you throw it down and surrender and say, God, I'm going to use it for the glory of God, that he will anoint it and it makes the difference. God wants to empower who you are, your hand. See, when we surrender our past to his power, that mess becomes a message. I know that's cliche, but right? We look at our past and it's a mess. When we surrender our past, the mess becomes a message. When you surrender your personality, your ordinary becomes extraordinary. And when you surrender your natural becomes supernatural. And so what does that look like today in our lives? And so I think worship team is going to kind of come back up here. And I haven't figured out how to do altar calls with cars yet. I think I might eventually get to, we'll see if we get real weird and like I have you turn your lights on if you want me to pray for you, and I'll run around the parking lot and lay hands on your hood or something weird like that. But we're not going to do that today. This is the kind of message that I hope you hear in your heart and you're challenged and you say, I want to surrender to the Lord. I want to be used of Him. So I had one last verse. So I don't know if Ben's there and listening, if you can come and play. But look at Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. I almost forgot my last closing here. I get a bunch of closings. This conversation goes on a long time, and this should have been, once again, the end of the conversation. He just saw God turn a stick into a snake and back again. He just saw God turn leprosy and heal it in a moment. He just had the promise that God's going to do that through him. And yet Moses comes back. Verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. Once again, Moses just wants to talk about how he's the wrong guy, how he has the weaknesses, how he's not enough. And here is God's question, right? It's all about God's questions. I know I should have saved it for another message, but it fits right here at the end. God's question to him in verse 11, it says, who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. And I know I just isolated those words on your page, but those are some decent words to think about. Is it not I, the Lord? Is it not I who am calling you? Is it not the great I am who has promised to empower you? Is it not the great I am who has made you a masterpiece and has prepared you for right now to serve the purposes of God? He says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you. Now here's what's almost sad. For my altar call, I'm going to tell you how not to respond. But I think Moses reveals human nature. As much as this is all true, as much as Moses was experiencing at first, hey, on holy ground, burning bush, voice audible from heaven, verse 13 is the opposite of what I hope we do. But when it's all said and done, Moses says this, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Isn't it kind of strange that the Bible gives us the opposite response? The wrong response. Can we flip that around? Can we make the answer that Isaiah gave when he heard the question, whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. I've got my past. Use it, Lord. Lord, I got my personality. I've got my weaknesses, but use it, Lord. God, I don't have much, but what I have, I give to you. Use it, Lord. Here I am. Send me. I'll tell you what, we won't get in too much trouble, but if you want to say, here I am, send me, just give me a little honk honk. All right, that's enough. We're all done, Pastor Mike. You can't get me now. Let me pray for you. Lord, I just thank you right now for every one of these servants, these children of God, that you have shaped them and you have made them. Lord, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, we are a masterpiece, your workmanship, created by you for your plans and your purposes. God, forgive us for thinking we're not enough. Forgive us for trying to be someone else. Forgive us for wallowing in our past. But Lord, we just rise up in victory today and we surrender our past, our personality, and our possessions to the power of God. And Lord, we ask that you would anoint who we are to be used of you, God. So Lord, take my mess and make it a message. Take my ordinary and make it extraordinary. Take my natural and make it supernatural. So God, I just thank you today that for the people of God, and Lord, I just pray that you'd begin speaking to hearts and lives about what it means to serve the purpose of God today. So God, we just thank you and we praise you once again. We thank you that we can be here worshiping you. We give you honor. We give you praise. We love you. We pray one for another. We pray for our community. We pray for our world. God, you are on the throne and we trust you today. And it's in the Jesus name we pray. It's in Jesus name we trust. It's in Jesus name, the name above all names, that we rejoice. Amen. Amen. All right.